Tanner Tuttle, how the hell are you?
I am fantastic, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. I'll ask the questions. No, I'm just kidding. All
right, cool. Easier for me.
Yeah. What you're visiting SAC? You're,
yes.
Where are you located out of?
Las Vegas, Nevada.
Born and raised?
No. So originally Cedar City, Utah. But for comedy, I've been living in Vegas since March of 2020.
Wow. So you grew up in Utah?
Yeah.
What's Utah like? Is it everything they say?
Like, what do they say? Very Mormon and stuff like that?
Yeah,
for the most part. I feel like my town was kind of like, it's like, it is more Mormon, but it is kind of like got this little like slice, but a lot of people call it Jack Mormon as well. So it's like people who go to church, but still kind of like don't follow all of the Mormon things. So they'll drink drink a coffee or a soda whatever like that. But beautiful mountain ranges, beautiful scenery, a lot of national parks, a lot of hiking areas, but then very like crazy Mormon strict kind of household family stuff.
Yeah,
but then a lot of like kids going behind their parents' backs to do shit.
So is it a lot like the movie Footloose, like just like very church and very very strict?
I have never thought of it like that, but yes, like there is a lot of...
Because that's what you described to me. You just described to me. You just described Footloose to me.
I've never thought of it like
without that. Without the dancing.
Yeah, but like, yeah, they're breaking off to go do drugs, not dance.
Okay.
But...
Did you call it Jack Mormon?
Yeah, that's been a term that a lot of people throw around. So that's like people who are Mormon, go to church on Sundays and do all that, but they don't follow the Mormon rules because as is intense.
Because where I grew up, I got called a holiday Catholic, meaning I would go to church only.
I would go to church
like a Christmas Eve mass, mm-hmm. Easter Sunday, mm-hmm. and that would be the only times. And of course we would do Lent, like giving something up for Lent,
right?
But I would last like 3 weeks of it, and you know it would never...
That's not bad. That's like halfway, isn't it? Because it's 40 days, right?
I couldn't even tell you. Is it 40
days? I think
days?
It's 40 days. I think that's what Lent is. It's usually like a 40-day thing.
I never made it all the way through.
So if you make it 3 weeks, you made it halfway. You know, 50%. Okay. That's not bad.
I may have been exaggerating.
So you are half Catholic. There you go. There it is.
Yeah, there it is. Were you raised Mormon at all? Or you just happened to be there?
No, I just mainly happened to be there. My dad grew up Mormon. My dad grew up in central Utah and grew up in a Mormon household and everything like that. And then my mom grew up in California, and she grew up in a no religion household type thing.
What part of California? Because California is very different, right?
Northern
California is very relaxed, but Northern is way more relaxed.
Northern California, San Mateo area, and stuff like that. I think she went to like Hillsdale High School and around there. And then my mom also went to third generation at Stanford University as well. So,
oh wow, yeah, she a doctor? In medicine?
Nah, she did it to jump through the family's hoops. They were like, oh, you gotta go to Stanford. So she got a music degree.
Mm.
Got that music degree. It was like, okay, what the fuck am I gonna do with this? But then she wanted to be a dancer, loved dancing and doing that kind of stuff. Moved to Reno and became a showgirl dancer and stuff like that. But they were like, you graduated from Stanford? They're like, cool, you're in.
Right, right.
Just because of that.
And where did they meet? Did they meet in Utah?
Did
they meet at a show in Reno?
They met in Vegas. My mom lived in Reno for a little bit, relocated to Vegas for dancing. My dad, his older brother, moved to Las Vegas and became a security guard. And he was like, you come down here, I can get you a job. So my dad moved down to Vegas in the 70s and was a security guard at the El Cortez, which is on Fremont Street.
What was Vegas in the 70s? Like, did I got some stories, or does he like, no, I don't tell those stories?
He does tell those stories, and they're great. And also, like, now he's coming back to visit me, and I work at a comedy club, and so he comes and just hangs out with me. And so I have other comics there, and they bullshit with him. And so he's talked to comics who have been doing it before I was born, like in the 80s. And so he's like, your dad's got great stories about when Vegas was ran by the mob and everything. Like, holy shit. Okay. Like, he talks about like Quaaludes and, you know, all that. Wow. Like, he was just, you know, the old Vegas. He used to work with Steve Wynn a lot. He was security for Siegfried and Roy.
Wow.
Like, one of the Tigers liked him, peed on him and stuff. Like, I've got wild. Yeah. He'd be like, yeah. And so it's great now for him to come back. And now he's like, I get to relive my youth in a way by coming out and partying with me and hanging out and doing comedy shit and all that. So it's like he gets to just be like, oh man, it's, I never thought you'd take me partying in Vegas.
Yeah, you know? That's
so
dope.
It's like, it's fun to do.
Yeah. So your dad, not hardcore Mormon?
No, he never really was. So I guess like my grandma on that side worked in the church and everything like that, but was a very awesome, open person. And so it was like, if they got in trouble, it was like, don't tell my mom type stuff.
Okay. The way it should be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So, but like, I guess she was never really pressing on them. So like when they moved out and stuff, she's just like, all right, you know, do your thing. They gave me a choice when I was younger. So I went to church for like a year when I was like 6 to 7. But I was like, this, I don't like this, going somewhere Sunday morning when it's like I could usually be off and everything like that. Plus, like, no, like the teacher, I was like looking at stuff. I'm like, I don't like this stuff.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. Well, that's because like a lot of people that were Mormon, like their stories of like having to leave, the, like a lot more complicated than the story, than the version you just had. So.
Yeah. No, like we would have the missionaries like try to come up and talk to us and stuff and everything like that and try to convert. My middle sister, Taylor, she actually she married into a Mormon family and she got baptized at 16 and all that. So then there was kind of a pressing like, oh, are you going to do the same and everything like that? And I was like, no, probably not.
So are you the youngest?
Yeah. Youngest of three.
Of three? Oh, that's not too crazy.
No. Nah.
What's the age difference?
We're all 5 years apart. So I'm 33, middle's 38, and then the older one's 43. So it was 1980, 85, and 90 for us.
Oh, wow.
So we're all 5 years apart. So didn't really like get a lot or see each other a lot or anything like that or be really close, but.
Nice. Are you guys close now? Like, do you guys get together on the holidays?
On the holidays sometimes and stuff, like I'll chit chat with them, but not really. I keep in touch with my parents a lot. I'm really close with them. Siblings, they're there like, oh hey, but it's, you know, like not really, because it's like I feel like they're like, oh yeah, like hit me up. I'm like, you know, that door swings both ways, like you can hit me up too.
I think that's,
don't
like
put all the pressure on me.
Isn't that like the safe thing to tell your siblings, like when you see them, oh just hit me up, and then that way you could be like, well I told them to hit me up.
Yeah but like sometimes I still will, I'll be the one that actually like kind of hitch out and do stuff, and they're just like okay, and then they'll just be like, what have you been doing? I was like, I tried. But at the same time, like, it's not upset. Like, we all know we're busy doing our own thing and lives and everything, so.
That's cool. That's dope. That's dope. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing. There's there's no animosity. There's no, like, you didn't do the church or, like, I did this and, like, you should have followed me. There's none of that. That's awesome. No.
And then it's just, like, and then it is, like, we're just, like, oh, all of us are, like, out of sight, out of mind. It's like, oh, yeah, like, yeah. We think about each other. It's just you're not in front. But if you were in front,
and
it'd
be
more constant.
And you guys aren't beefing, so that's good.
Nah.
That's great.
No, we couldn't do that.
How long have you been doing comedy?
5 years. I started April 9th, 2018 was the first time I stepped on a stage.
Okay, so we are about the same length in comedy. Because okay. I started in September of 2018.
Okay, yeah, so a few months after me. Cool.
Yeah, cool. That's great. So I got this, like, I feel like we could really talk about this. Because I want to ask you this. How bad, or like, how great was your momentum going when the pandemic shut it down? Because, like, I felt like I was, like, really hitting a stride. I was kind of finding, I was getting shows. And then, boom, they shut it down. And then we got shut down for about the amount of time that we had been doing comedy.
Yeah, so, I was living in Utah, and I would drive to Vegas, because there wasn't really much in my hometown going on.
How far is that drive?
2.5 hours to 3 hours one way.
Wow.
So, I would drive down, like, once a month, go do one to, I found a spot, I would go hit up two mics on a Monday, so do both of those, and then drive back up. And then after a while, they were like, yo, you need to come to this mic, the open mic, because it's a really good one. And I was like, man, the only way I can do that is if I work Sunday. So I was like, I would work a 12-hour shift, get off, drive down to Vegas, sign up, wait, do my set, hang out, and then drive all the way back home and be up for like a 24-hour full period.
Gosh.
And then just, you know, be like, cool, I got 2 days off. I can crash and rest now and everything like that. So my first 2 years, I maybe got 40 to 50 stage times under me, so not as much as if I lived in Vegas, because it's like someone else can get that in 2 months easily. But then I moved to Vegas February 29, 2020, leap day, and then the shutdown started 2 weeks later. So like you said, like I was getting there out there every night, I was hitting up mics, I started to get a momentum, I was feeling good, like, oh hell yeah, like Brian Regan was in the crowd of one of them and came up and was like, hey man, you're funny. I was like,
Holy what? Shit.
Yeah, what? At an open mic here? And like, cause, and you never know who's in the crowd. Like, you don't think it. And it happened. And I was like, hell yeah. And then poof, the shutdown started. And I was like, do I move back? Do I just stay here? And I was like, you know, they only said 2 weeks. I'll stay here. And it just kept going. But I was just like, no, like, I'm staying here. I'm staying here. So I felt October of 2020 was when Vegas started to have, I was like, oh, this is more consistent. I was hitting at least 1 to 2 open mics a week, plus going to see a show or two. And then it just started to like kind of snowball from there and started to build up and build up and get more momentum and more places opening up and more places and everything like that. And so
I guess then being in Vegas, it wasn't so bad because there was so much opportunity, like to even like even the little bit of opportunity that there was during the shutdown, like it was still plenty.
Because I think they like the shutdown was in March, and then by June, places were like, nope, we're getting open back up. But they were more top book shows getting. And then at the same time, because then a lot of comics from everywhere started moving in because nowhere else was open. Mm. And like Vegas was some of the first places, like LA Comedy Club where I work at, they were the first club to open up. So everybody was like, oh, I got to go there. And so we just like, it was like, cool, like, great. We got entertainment and stuff. But it was like my competition and my like just got so much fucking harder and higher to now deal with.
Yeah.
Like I got so many good people who come from LA and everywhere now. I'm like, now I got to. You know, I'm barely starting fresh, but then slowly there was so much, there's so many places, there's so many bar shows, there was so much, it just allowed for all of us to spread and be able to do it too.
Yeah.
And to gain and learn and everything like that. And then now it's like some comics are like, all right, now I'm going to Austin, or I'm going here, or I'm going there. Yeah, and then some of them fleed into
a big pilgrimage to Austin.
Oh my god. Yeah. Haven't made it out there yet. I need to.
I haven't made it out there yet either.
Yeah.
I mean, Austin has always had like this great reputation even before comedy, right? Mm-hmm. Like going all the way back to like Willie Nelson days, like Austin, Stevie Ray Vaughan, like mm-hmm. Austin has always had this mystique about it.
Yeah, and the South by Southwest was there, and that kind of like, you know, I feel like it was a very, like it seems like a DIY scene.
Okay, kinda like here absolutely.
Too. Like it does seem like it's got the main shit, but also it's like it's got a very strong underground hold on it too, so. Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned something that you said it had a DIY feel, kind of mm-hmm. like it has here.
Yes.
Now you're talking about Sacramento here, or Northern Sacramento. California?
No, I don't know, because I've mainly been doing a lot of stuff in Sacramento. I've did a little bit in San Francisco, but not a lot. But I, being here in Sacramento, like seeing the scene, and I like it.
Okay, it's, so
it does seem to have a DIY follow and strong people believing in it and going with it.
I know that you were here for the, I can't remember what Laughs Comedy Festival is called.
Oh, the Sackdown Get Down.
The Sackdown Get Down.
What so a you, name. But.
You came for that.
Yeah.
And was that your first taste of Sacramento?
No. So my first taste of Sacramento was back at the beginning of May with the World Series of Comedy. They held that.
Oh, yeah. Laughs they had Unlimited. The satellite. Yeah.
Yeah. So I made it into that. Drove up here. I know a few comics that live in Vegas that are from the Bay Area. So I got their connections through people. So I was able to do a bar show in San Francisco. And that was really cool.
Nice.
It was, you know, a tiny crowd, but I was like,
dude, no, but it's a crowd in another
in
city.
In the financial district and Telegraph. Like, I was like, I'm in the heart of San Francisco. Hell this is fucking dope. Like, loved it. Got to go see the Bay Bridge or the Golden Gate Bridge and all that. So that was cool. But then, like, saw, you know, did the show at Sacramento at Laughs. And I was like, oh, this reminds me of my home club in Vegas, the LA Comic Club. Like, okay, cool. This has got good vibes. This is cool. I know a lot of the comics that have came up here, like DJ Sandu's on the window. Carlos Rodriguez. Yeah. Was like, yo, I'm friends with those guys. Like, this is great.
I was going to segue somewhere to get to Carlos, but I definitely want to talk about him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about, like, how you feel about, like you said, you really like the scene.
So then I was on Tinder, matched up with Maddie. Me and Maddie have been doing great through that. And so I've been coming to visit and been able to hit up more spots and see the scene. And just I've fallen in love with it. I love the city and the scene and everything like that. Like, no, it's so great.
I love hearing that because like I love the city, and I love the city even before I started doing comedy. Mm-hmm. And then when I started doing comedy, like I started doing improv, and I started meeting all these like cool people, and then Then I switched from improv to comedy because I just realized I'm not a team player. Like, you know,
yeah,
like,
it's a solo thing. Like, I want to do my own thing.
That was always the coaching or the feedback I got. Was like, you're doing your own thing up there.
Yeah,
you know. So it's great hearing. So you've been here about a week and a half now.
For this time, yeah. We got in the beginning of October. Went to a show in Santa Cruz, and then got back like over the weekend and stuff like that. But yeah, I usually, every time I come out, I try to stay for like 10 days or something like that. So
soak it in.
Yeah, soak it in, get out, relax, but then also hit up some stuff, but go hang out and everything. Like, I love the bar scene here is great. The food here is amazing. Like, everywhere we go, it's a dope city. I really enjoy it.
What's been some of the best food you've had in town?
Oh, man.
Like, what's the place that you're like, dude, I gotta go back?
So my favorite that we go to every time is Butterscotch.
Okay.
I love Butterscotch. That's a little steakhouse that they got. Tank House is really, really dope.
Fuck yeah.
Golden Bear's got some damn good food as
Golden
well.
Golden Bear's great food.
Shady Lady.
Yes.
Gotta go with that. Like, everywhere we go, I'm just like, yep, their food's bomb. Like, where was the breakfast place we went to today? Sellens. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that was like a little more
Sellens
like.
Sellens does breakfast? I thought they were like more like the pizza place.
Kind of, but we went. I don't know why I say breakfast. Like, comedian shit. We woke up at like one, p.m. and that's breakfast for me. But it's like a BLT is what I got. But like, no, that place is cool. Yeah, everywhere we've gone, I've really, really enjoyed.
Yeah, and that's so, nice. That's nice. Dude, how'd you like Golden Bear last week? That's why I saw you at Golden Bear last week.
I love Golden Bear. I felt like it was like
you've done it before.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've done it a few times. I really enjoy it each time I go there. I like the vibe of that room and everything. And so, like, I'm cool with it if it's, like, a slow night. Yeah, because when you hosted last week, I feel like that's been the slowest night I've been there. But it was still pretty chill. Just that one girl that was yelling at the bartender.
That was crazy.
But then when she was in the room during the show, she was super chill. So I was like, all right, like, this isn't bad. Like, but I was like, it's weird that you're just...
Wait, were you there when the girl got kicked out?
No, I don't think so. Did she end up getting kicked out?
I think you guys were gone. So this girl got kicked out. So
the girl in the pink shirt?
I can't remember. But so this guy comes up to me, like, kind of late in the mic, and he's like, can I go up? And I'm like, oh, list this fool, dude. Sorry.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right. He understood. And then a couple of comics didn't show up. So I went up to him, and I was like, hey, you still want to go up? I'll get you up. And I felt so bad for this guy because he got so excited, and he's like, yes. And he, like, he patted down his hair. He took out his crumpled up notes. He
ironed that shirt. Get it ready.
Yes. He buttoned down his shirt.
Got that tight stick.
He looked over at his friend, the girl, and said, I'm going to go up. And she goes, oh boy, you're going to go up. And then, like, I walked away, and 30 seconds later, she was in a screaming match with the bartender. And the bartender said, you got to go. And she's like, you got to kick me out. And he's like, no, you got to go. And she's like, oh, you're not going to. And then so the guy had to end up getting between the bartender and the girl, and they both left, and he didn't get to go up.
That's shitty. Oh. lose out because of like someone else, like your like date or something.
Yeah, I don't know if it was his date or if it was his BFF. I don't know. But I just know that she went cray, and he didn't get kicked out, but he was a good friend and got his friend out of the trouble.
Yeah, just being like, it's just better to leave. That's wild.
And Scott Hoyle was on stage the whole time. While there was a shouting match going on.
He could have. I feel like he handled it well then, right?
Yeah, he did. He stayed out of it, but he did make a comment, but he kind of stayed out of it.
Good, yeah.
And he did good. I was proud of him.
Nice, all right.
When I offered to host the open mic, I thought I was offering to host the showcase.
Oh.
So
I think you said that at the beginning, too. You were like, yo, I thought this was a showcase, not the open showcase. Mic.
I don't like you guys.
And you're now I got to work harder. I think that's literally what you said or something.
Yeah, I was like, oh, God, I really got to work.
Fuck.
Now. Yeah, it was a rough night. I earned my money, man. I earned it.
Hell, you got paid. Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's been your favorite bar? Just like not even talking about comedy, just going to a bar and knocking down a few.
B-Side's pretty dope.
Lots of stuff to do in there.
I like the vibe of B-Side. But Golden Bear, I like Golden Bear as well, because I'm a big fan of Cliff. When Cliff's bartending, I think he's fucking dope. What are other, like, huh? Elixir, yep. Elixir, yeah. That's nice, the other good one to go to, yep, for sure. So that's a good late one.
How long have you been at, now, L.A. Comedy Club? Is right. That where you work?
Yeah, that's
is
where
that,
I work.
Is that the one, who owns that? Or
that's
that?
That's Matt Chavez and Joaquin Trulio.
Okay.
And Drew Chavez is a manager there and hanging out, yeah.
All right, and how long have you been there now? It seems like you've been, it seems like from how you're speaking, you've been there a few years.
I started working there last year, March of 2022, but okay. Like also... when December of 2020 November 2020 they opened back up. December I started going and hanging out there because they allow comics to come and hang out.
Okay,
so I would go and just hang out. I was able to get on a few midnight shows too, but then I was just like, oh man, I just need to start hanging out here.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about that, about yeah. like these clubs that like, because I don't think everybody gets it that what you just hang out and like, because you're yeah. hanging out with the hopes of
yeah.
getting up at a club like yeah. at LA, right?
Yeah, and I feel like everyone does it differently. And so like with me, I'm always like a first impression kind of guy. So I'm just like, no, I'm here to hang out. I'm not here to ask for stage time. I'm just here to chill. And I would do that. And then one of the, like a host for the midnight show, he came up and we were chit-chatting. He was just like, oh, you're a comic? I'm like, yeah. He's like, do you want to go up on my show next week?
Next week.
Or like one of the times, or like, I think it was like a few weeks away. And I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, got you down. And then I went and did it and I had a good set. And so he's like, all right, I got you down again. And it was like a few months later, it kind of like started getting farther, but I was like, oh, more people are getting in on it and everything. But also I wasn't picky or anything. I was just there to hang out. I go say, hey, I want to watch a show. Cause when they were the only club open, their 8 o'clock weekly headliner, they got bangers to come through. Like one of the first ones I went to was Tom Rhodes.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and he usually does the Laugh Factory or like Brad Garrett's, like one of the A-list clubs. I mean, LA's a B-list club, they're right up there, but they don't get as top tier. So him to come down, I was like, oh shit. And I went and watched him and I was like, he blew it out of the water. And so they got a few, but then once other places started open up, they didn't get them, but they still have really good comics that come through. And so I would just go and hang out and be like, oh yeah, I like you. That's how I met Carlos Rodriguez. Was just going and chilling there and just seeing him and being like, oh man, I like your style. And then just, that was it. Just being there, just being a face. Another local here who helped me get into that club, DJ Sandu. Great man. Super happy I got to meet that guy, but he was one of the ones that was just like, yeah, you want to be a comedian and be funny, but he's like, you want to be a great hangout, you want to be a cool person that people want to be able to get along with, you got to be able to hang out. That I think took me a minute because I'm a super shy kind of guy, and I think a lot of comics are too, like we just keep to ourselves. So it was like, no, just slowly I got out there and was cool. He's like, and then you want to be in their face but not in their hair.
Oh, that's a good...
Yeah, and I like was like, oh, okay, because it's like, yeah, like it's a super busy Friday, Saturday night. Do you think that's the proper time to ask for a spot? Nah. You go when it's a chill time or anything, or then if you're just there chilling, hanging out, and not in their hair, oh, man, something fucking happened. Oh, man, I need someone. That person.
Yeah.
Look at them chilling. Like, I like that. Like, another comic who lived in Reno, and he now is there, is Mike Shin. And he was a guy, he's like, yeah, I used to do the Laugh Factory there. I'm just here to hang out. And he'd just show up and just be a nice guy. And people, other comics, headliners see him, be like, yo, who's this guy? Have you seen him perform? And I was like, I actually haven't yet, but he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And that sometimes and works better than being funnier.
Yeah.
And now he's hosting there and everything like that. Butch Bradley, who's a residential headliner, he saw me there almost every night for a while. And he's just like, you're wild. Why are you here? And I was like, well, I go do open mics. And now I'm here to, because there's no open mics. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go home yet. I'm going to come hang out. And he's like, I like that. Do you want to come on tomorrow? And I'd be like, yeah.
When they tell you that, like how much time are they giving you? 5 minutes?
Yeah,
seven minutes?
5 to 7 usually like that. Butch is funny because he would like usually tell me, he's like, yeah, 7. We got you. And then he'd come in that day and be like, hey, I gave someone else a guest spot too. So you're both getting 5.
Mm.
I'm like, no, that's fine. I'll just shorten, knock it, you know, do what I need to do. And then like, but like slowly, because now I've been working there and getting up more, he is more open with me being able to do more new stuff and having a little bit more time with it too and everything. So he's just like, yeah, no, like do you like go around like, okay. And
how did the opportunity present itself for you to start working there?
So
is it like as a door person or?
Yeah. So, that's how it started. So like, they opened up, so they used to be upstairs in the Strat, the second floor. And then they opened up a brand new showroom last year, February, yeah, January of 2022. Opened up their new beautiful showroom and stuff. So for a while, I was literally just hanging out every night. Not one, you know, just chilling. And one of the other comedians I'm friends with was like, yeah, I just asked the owner for a guest spot. And I was like, all right, maybe I'll go do that. And he was like, yeah, I'll get you up soon.
Oh, yeah, were you like, and, I should do that.
And then, but then another thing was I would just wait for shows to be over. And since I'm not doing anything, I go help clean up too and help them turn the room over and stuff. And they were like, oh, thank you for that. I'm like, well, this is a brand new showroom. I think all of us should help to keep it nice as much as possible. Like, it takes everybody to do this. Mm-hmm. And so they liked that. And I would just help out clean and stuff like that. So I did my first guest spot. Went okay. Not great. I did, you know, meh. Not the best. But they, I got off and the owner was like, yeah, like, I like that you did this and this and stuff. I was like, cool. And then the manager, who's his brother, was like, hey, you're here every night. Do you want a job? Is basically what happened. They watched me do a set. Was like, okay, this kid's decent. Like, we can give him a job here.
Nice.
And that was literally it. They were like, all right, do you, like, I was, at the time, I was just working a day job. I was moving gym equipment and stuff like that. So they were like, you got nights open? I was like, yeah. They were like, how about, do you want to work here over the weekends and stuff like that? I was like, sure. And so I had showed up and I just started as being a door guy, running the soundboard, giving the light, keeping time of the comics. Yeah. And then just slowly, just because of that, they liked me. I kept, you know, did my job and everything.
So once you're in and as a door guy, does that somehow solidify like a spot for you once a week?
No, not at all. No. Because that like I butt heads with the owner with Matt on is sometimes I'm like, yo, like, dude, this is a good crowd. Can I go do a guest spot? And he's like, are you working? And I'm like, yes. He's like, I don't want you doing both. And I was like, dude, that's so weird. Like, we door guys do so well with crowds. Like, hey, how you doing? Da, 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 da. And then we get to go up there and they're like, oh, I recognize this person.
Yeah.
Hey. And it's like, I already got a little repertoire going with them. So sometimes he'll allow that, but not always. But he is also like unless it's the features and the headliners, he books that day. So it's like, I got a day off. Like, what do you got? And he's like, do you want to host? I'm like, sure. So nice. Now that I've gotten into it, but I've also learned through him because I was like, I've gotten a few other comedians hired on to be door guys. And I'm like, yo, they're funny, but also they're a good, hardworking person. And I like them. Like, let's help them. And so sometimes I'm like, yo, like so-and-so has been here 8-9 months. Like, when are we going to get them on stage? When they deserve a guest spot. And the owner was like, they'll ask. And I was like, ah, so sometimes you got to press on a little bit to be like, yo, when am I gonna go
there's
up?
All these little unspoken things,
and it's like that, and every booker's gonna be different too, or like every person, but like at the same time, like I like being able to have that, like getting into the mind of a booker because he does tell me stuff, but then also it's like if I could get him to vouch for me to do other stuff, that'll help a lot. Mm-hmm. But just also it's like, yo, they're a human. They're got a job. They're just as busy as me and doing other stuff. So sometimes they can't.
Or there's something going on, like their car's breaking down, or like there's all these other things that
And like a crazy thing, like last year, they were out on their boat and our like boss, he like took off, he was like taking off his shirt and he slipped off the back and like landed on the second on the boat and like smashed his ribs and his back, and so like he was like out of commission for a month or so, like at least. And we were like, what the fuck? Like, so I was like, all right, I'm not asking you for anything during this time because like, nah, you're good. Like, you book what you want, you do what you want. I'm like, I've always been able to find other spots. But then that's another great thing about that club is like so many people come through that do shows or book shows
all
nearby
around the city.
And so they're just like, oh yeah, come do my show, come do this. Like, you got a day off? Oh yeah, I do the show on Wednesdays, can you come do it? And so that was able to help me get in through and break doors with others.
Like, how big and how like widespread is the comedy scene in Las Vegas? Like, do you think you've even like touched the surface? Like,
yeah, for sure. I think I have. I think I've dived into it. I really like it. It's got a really wide open mic scene. The open mic scene's very well. So it's like if you're looking for places to go up and try your stuff and get those stage time and get those reps in and build your chin, hell yeah. But there's not a lot of, personally to me, I don't find a lot of audience value in the open mics there.
No, yeah, well, that's
but I feel like that is a very common thing.
That's that's
for
a
lot of places.
Mics.
But then there is an open mic at the Wise Guys Comedy Club, and they hold two open mics. They hold one on Tuesdays, which is a bucket, you know, you get drawn, and then Wednesdays is an email the week before.
Mm-hmm.
and they charge, it's like $5 for an audience member to come in, so it's super cheap for a date night and stuff, but they can still fill out a room and get 100 to 150 people. And it's like, they get great crowds. And sometimes you can go up there and do your open, you know, trying out new shit, and it, that blows up. You're like, oh, okay, cool.
Is comedy still one of the key staple entertainment things in Vegas?
Or, I think so.
Or has Vegas just become so saturated with all these different types of entertainment? Because, like, when you think back of, like, the early days of Vegas, like, you, of course, you think of, like, the Rat Pack, and then you think of, like, how, like, Don Rickles and all those guys
was,
like, doing these rooms, and, like, it was, like, a nightly thing. But, like, what do you think that it's still, like, one of the things that Vegas is known for?
Yes, but it's not known names in a sense, unless you're going to like your giant MGM shows of like Joe Rogan, Kevin Hart, Tom Segura, that magnitude. But it's like a lot of people are like, oh, hey, there's a comedy show. Yeah. Like, let's just go. Because, like, Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club, so it's like people see that name. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, oh, okay. And they do, and some places do draw decent names. Like, Kimmel's has Jamie Kennedy coming up. They had Tim Meadows recently. Wise Guys just opened up a new room. They got Chris Kattan coming through. So they're, like, getting pretty decent-sized names. And people are like, oh, I've seen that on someone and stuff. But I think not as much as the it's, like, something to do type stuff. It's still there. It's got that value. But, like, yeah, like, not as much, like, you don't have your nightly people like Rogan or Chappelle something like that.
Yeah.
Staying there consistently. You got them coming in for a few shows, but yeah.
Are you able to do only that job, or do you still have to have a regular job?
Oh, no, I just work at the club now.
You just work at the club?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. I started off at, like, a few shifts a week. But then I was doing the gym job as well, and I was doing well, bouncing. But then after a while, I was like, I'm tired of moving gym equipment. So I went to them, and I was like, can I get another night a week? And they're like, yeah. So I got 4 nights a week working there. And so I was like, this is great. And then it's bouncing around a lot. I got bumped up to being a manager. And then I had to work like 5 nights a week. And then we've opened up other clubs. We've hired other people, and they've been bouncing around and stuff. And so they were like, they understand that I want to do comedy and not want to be a manager. Mm-hmm. So they're like, all right, how about you just work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you got your weeks off. And then if you want a weekend off, you can get a weekend off, and then you get 10, 12 days off straight. And I'm like, yes.
That's what you did right now. Yes. And you came to California.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I'm like, nope, let's do, like, that's the way to go. Cause they see it that way too.
Nice.
And they like me, and I've been able to work and do my thing. So,
well, you're likable.
Oh, appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Have you spent a lot of time in California, or are these like your first trips to California?
Sacramento. These were my first trips to Sacramento. I used to come and visit my grandma that lived in San Mateo, San Francisco. Let's see, every few years or some. She moved in 2010. Mm-hmm. So then after that, I came back in 2016. Mm-hmm. And then that was the last time I was in the Bay Area until 2023. So it's been a long time since I've been
here. So you haven't had a chance to explore Southern California?
Not too much. No, I've never really been. I've been to like Anaheim for like Disneyland and stuff. I went to San Diego for a comedy show recently, but just went to the club and back. So I haven't explored it much.
Madhouse?
Mic Drop.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And not that great. Like, it was fun. It's a cool room and stuff, but we got 10 people in that room at that show.
Man, that's so rough.
But they were fun. It was great. But I was like, I just drove like 6 hours to perform for 10 people, and I got to drive all the way back after. I'm like, ugh.
You just did it? You just turned around and did it?
Yeah. I had the headliner with me. And so we were just like, they changed it because it was supposed to be a 10 p.m. show. And I was like, all right, I'll pick you up. And then he hits me. He's like, yo, they changed it to 7:30.
Oh, fuck.
And I was like, well, cool. Like, it's earlier. Like, maybe we'll get a better crowd of stuff, and we don't have to compete with the 10 o'clock dirty show and stuff. I was like, all right. And then I was like, all right, we can do it down and back. And he's like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. Like, let's just do that. Let's just, I don't care. I was like, I've road dogged this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I drove to San Diego and back in a day.
Was that the roughest road trip you've done?
Yes. For comedy, by far, because the headliner lived in Pahrump, Nevada, which is like an hour outside of Vegas. So I had to go pick him up. And this was when all the raining was happening and all the flooding.
Uh-huh.
So there's a back road usually from Pahrump to Baker, California. But that was shut down because of all the flooding.
Oh, shit.
So then I had to drive back to Vegas for another hour and then go to San Diego. And then on the way back, drive to Vegas, back to Perump.
What time did your day start that day? Like 7 in the morning? Because you had to be there at
10. I think I woke up at 10 and I left my house at like 10:30, 11.
Uh-huh.
And then I got back home at 4 o'clock in the morning the next day.
Holy crap.
And that was like, I think I did 13 hours of driving or something that day.
How much stage time did you get?
Like 15 minutes. Which wasn't bad. I was like pretty happy with that. I was like, hell
that's
yeah.
That's a
like,
good amount of time. But any show, 15 minutes is great.
For sure. But what sucked was it was a door deal. So we like, when you only get 10 people for a door deal, we didn't make money. I think I think he paid me $30.
Yeah, but like those kind of shows, you go into them knowing it's not going to be great. Even like local bar shows, like I always anticipate to not get paid. So when I get paid, I'm like, oh, fuck bonus.
Yeah. Like, that and it's like I'm not in it for that. I'm just this is an audition for that club. That's all I was like.
Exactly.
I get to perform at this comedy club. That's it. I want to show I'm a nice guy. I'm friendly, and
they
also
saw what you did for it.
Yeah, and I can rock it, and I can get a crowd of just 10 to laugh still, and not be upset or like be like what the
just go out there and rip the crowd for 10 minutes because
there's no point in that. Like that's not their fault that we didn't bring people.
Wow,
you know.
Do you have any great road trips?
I don't know. I enjoyed the drive to Sacramento a lot. That's been fun. I did one recently where we went to Redding, California.
Okay.
So it was me and two other comedians, Adam Dominguez and Jamal Coleman. We did that Wind River Casino.
Yeah.
And so we drove up, picked up Maddie in Sacramento.
Jake Daniels?
Yeah, I think that's who brought the... Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And so we went and did that show. So that was a great little drive up there. Got to do the show, hung out, met some people after, wild. And... No, that was a fun road trip because I think that I usually go by myself. I'm solo on a lot of my drives.
Yeah.
And so that was like one where I actually had people with me, but I was like, this is enjoyable, even in a car for 8 to 10 hours. Like, this has been fun.
How do you kill time on road trips when you're by yourself? Audiobooks, podcasts
usually, or if I'm driving somewhere and I don't have service, sometimes CDs or I'll sometimes.
You still have CDs.
Yeah. Yeah, my phone's only got like the Bluetooth. I don't have an aux cord on my phone.
Okay.
And then, when you get bad service and stuff, I have a CD player still in my car and I still have my CDs.
Do you still buy new CDs?
No.
CDs?
No, I haven't bought. Oh, man, I haven't bought a CD probably since like 2017,
maybe.
Or something. And that's still pretty recent
to
buy
a CD,
too. Yeah.
Do you know what it was?
One of the last ones I bought was Knocked Loose. I remember I bought a Knocked Loose CD and I think that might have been it.
Mm.
But then after a while I did get a vinyl player, so I bought vinyls of stuff and everything. But yeah, I think that was the last CD I bought. But then I think when I got a car and it went from having no CD and I now have a CD, but now it has a CD player. So I was like, all right, how about if I take all my music on iTunes and burned it onto CD? So I went through and had tons of burned CDs, like 300. So I was like, cool, this is perfect for road trips or anything. So I could just grab a stack and have them with me and everything. But yeah, usually, or podcasts if I got it. But then there's times where I'll just like sit there and I'll just have my own thoughts. I'll like think of jokes or go over my set and just sit there and ponder and shit.
How do you write? Do you write pen to paper? Do you write on your phone? Do you send? What's your process? You get an idea.
I just get an idea and I'll just bounce around with it in my head. And usually that's where it's all I do with it for the most part. Sometimes I will text myself like one or two sentences to remind myself of something if I'm too busy to be like, oh, I need to remember this.
I've started trying to do that.
Yeah, like, oh, nope, I got to write this down. And then I'm like, okay, if it is kind of complete, then maybe I'll post it to like Twitter or Facebook too.
To see if you get
just to also have it on my timeline and something. Because then if I'm like, all right, what was that dumb thing I wrote? So I can scroll back and do that. I do randomly will sometimes write stuff down, but I don't. Sometimes I'm like, I need to write more shit down. I need to. And then I don't.
Everyone's got a different process.
Yeah.
And like some people don't write notes at all. And they just keep an idea in their head and then they go up there and they riff it.
Yeah.
And then they go from there. But
I
can't do that. I don't know if it's the weed or what.
Yeah, I did hear one comic when we were at Skankfest because he was doing an improv thing and he's like, I'm married to my words. And I was like, I feel that. Like, because it's like, yeah, like I do like not write it down, but I do have an idea of where I want it to go, what I want to say and get across and everything like that. I used to also work at a factory and I would work 12-hour shifts and we're like, you have earplugs in all day. You're working around big machines and I'm by myself. So there were times like I just sit there and would just talk my set.
Mm.
I'm like, no one can hear me. I can go over my jokes and I can talk about how it would sound coming out and da 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 da. I'm like, okay, that sounds decent or that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, cool. And then that's it, usually.
Right on. Let's talk about Skankfest real quick.
Yeah.
Was this your first year doing Skankfest?
No, this was my second year. I did Skankfest last year as well in Vegas. I've done both of the years in Las Vegas.
Okay. And you were part of the roast battle? How many?
The naked roast battle. I did it both years. That's the thing I did. That was
it. So when you're sending your package in that you want to be a participant in Skankfest, uh-huh. what are you checking that says, I will roast somebody naked? Like, how does that...
So last year...
So describe what the naked roast battle is for the listeners at home that are like, what?
Naked roast battle is like just a regular roast battle. Two comics go up there and talk shit on each other, and there's 3 to 4 judges and a host, but everyone on that stage is fully naked. And then they choose, when you go up there, they bring up one contestant at a time, and if it's two guys battling, they basically do shortest dick goes first or gets to choose. And then if it's a man and a woman, women gets to go first, basically. And then you just both go back and forth, tell your jokes. They have the judges there, and then they pick a winner. Like,
wow.
And it's like, you know, 5 to 10 minutes or so just up there, fully nude and stuff. But they're super legit about it and everything, because they're like, we care about you having fun and your safety and your enjoyment. So they're mm-hmm. like... it's blocked off. No one's allowed to have their cameras out.
Right.
We got people going around. If someone even takes out their phone to a text, we kick them out. So they're really legit about that.
So they really just make it as comfortable for you as possible.
And it honestly is. Because the host, Zach Amico, he's done it every year and he'll bring it up. He's like, it's going to be great because if you do it, you go up there, you're going to even forget you're naked. You're just going to go up there and do your shit.
And did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I've... So I did it last year, and I actually did it as a warm up because I did another show called Naked and Not Afraid, and it was in Pasadena, Cali, where it was in front of the sexual positive group of Los Angeles or LA County. So it was just like in front of a nudist group. So the whole crowd was naked. The audience, the performers were naked and stuff. So I was like naked. The naked roast was practice for me to do that. Mm-hmm. In a sense, but the naked roast was so much fun both times.
So are you like part of like the nudist community?
No.
You just happen to fall into it?
I just happen to fall into it, and I do enjoy it. I think it's fun, but it's like, and then like I've heard other comics, they're like, yeah, I've performed for nudist groups before, and they're like, they pay good and stuff like that. And it's just like, also in a sense, it's like almost every group needs comedy and entertainment and stuff so it's like, and then I was like, well, and then they'll like, as a performer, you don't have to, if you do those kinds of shows, they're like, you don't have to get nude. But it's like, yeah, man, fuck it.
That's dope. So Skankfest again next year?
Dude, if I can, absolutely. Yeah. I did submit this past year, but yeah, it's just like there isn't anything to like check mark or anything. You just send in a tape. But like they were looking for volunteers last year, and so I had the email address from last year. So I just emailed them. I was like, hey, I know you were looking for volunteers last year for your naked roast. I was like, I volunteer again. If you're looking for people this year, just let me know. And then like a few days later, one of the guys was like, yo, I produce it. You want to do it? I'm like, yep. He's like, all right, cool.
I bet that just made it so much easier for them. It's so do you produce any shows?
No.
It's so hard. I hate it. It's just like,
yeah, I've got friends who do it and stuff. I see it, and that's kind of why I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Is I'm just like, ugh. Plus I do like the freedom of being able to just do any show and be on anything and do what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not have to be like, oh, did someone cover this? Is someone taking care of this? It's like, nah, I don't know.
So down to the last detail, where's the fucking bar stool?
Yeah. Cause like, and like another thing, like I noticed in Vegas, and I'm sure it's in almost every scene, is just like, oh, you got a show? I'll put you on my show if you put me on your show.
I hate that.
And I don't like that. So I didn't want to be a part of that at all. So I've been trying to avoid it in a sense. But like, there's places in Vegas. I'm like, I personally want to just be in the clubs there. Like, I don't want to run a show. I just want to do clubs.
I leave so many people on read.
Yeah.
I'm like, no answer's your answer. Buddy. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
And see, and I've learned from people not to be a dick about that and everything. Just be like, all right, just move on.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cool. Move on. Like, because that's what my booker does. I'll text him and be like, yo, can you got any spots? And he doesn't hit me up. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, all right, cool. Because I'll see him later that night and be like, you dick.
And we just laugh about it. Check your phone.
Like, yeah. Like, you, like, but I've also been with him and seen him get a phone call and just like rant and just go right. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, okay, cool. At least you look at mine and acknowledge me in a sense. But. Yeah, no, I've never produced a show or anything like that. I ran an open mic for a little bit, but it was like another guy producing it, and it was a very shitty guy. He was he ran a comedy competition, so it was like 8 weeks of a comedy competition to give away $1,000 grand prize winner, and I don't even think that guy ever got his full money. I think he got like 700 when they finally paid him at the beginning, and I was just like, and that was part, and I was like, god damn it, like, so that I was sucks. Like, I don't want to be part of this guy that like sucks. You're so skeevy and shitty, like, you know, he barely even paid me half the time, right? So on. I was like, fuck that.
I like to wrap up the podcast, yes, with the segment I like to call 5 easy questions.
All right,
I promise there is no math involved. Do you like math?
I'm a autistic a little bit, so yeah. Oh. Math's a little, yeah, bit. Depends math. On the math.
Right on. Right on. Okay, 5 easy questions. Are you all ready? Right. Question number 1. Who or what inspires you?
Oh, man. Like, everything. I try to find inspiration in everything, man. I don't know. Silly, odd shit. I don't know. Like, I just try to, yeah, I just look at stuff and I just think of something and I'm like, I don't know, could I make that funny? Like, all right, let's try it.
All right. I dig it.
Yeah.
What are you currently binging? And it doesn't necessarily have to be a TV show. I know we hear binge and we kind of think of like Cobra Kai.
Right.
But like, it could be like a podcast series, a book series, a particular artist that you're just like.
Ooh, actually, I did start getting into a new podcast with Brett Ernst called Chains Out with Carlos Rodriguez.
Oh, Carlos Rodriguez.
Yeah, they just started a podcast together, and it's actually really, really funny. Wait,
what's the premise of it?
So they actually just go on there and just like they just talk about. So their first episode was about they both do a thing. I don't bitch ass dad. Do you know how Carlos does that bit about bitch ass dad? Well, Brett Ernst does bitch ass Kevin, but mm-hmm. they both use a lot of the same premises and they allow it. So that was like their first episode was just them going through a bunch of those. So like they were like, yeah, if you want to add into it, and it was like your bitch ass dad uses fabric softener, like your bitch ass dad loves karaoke, just so it's like silly dumb shit like that. So I've been liking that one.
What's that one called?
Chains Out.
Chains Out.
So they both wear their like chains and stuff like
okay,
that.
Okay.
The Basement Yard. That's a really good podcast. I like those guys. We've been bouncing into. We watched the Insidious movies recently. We've been watching Twin Peaks.
Mm, so you're into like the kind of like the dark macabre. Like,
yeah. For sure. Okay,
what is spooky season?
Yeah. No. And it's been great to do that. And then like we've been doing it lately. Just nostalgia trips and like flashback stuff. So like we binge watched a little bit of like Two Stupid Dogs and like Cow and Chicken and those cartoon shows from back in the day,
yeah.
And like Courage the Cowardly Dog. So it's just like that's been dope to see.
Right on.
And do.
Right on. All right. Question number 3. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I just drew a blank. No, I'm kidding. Wait, what is question number 3? I'm going to skip question number 3 because I'm forgetting it right now. We're going to question number 4.
All right.
You're on death row. What's your last meal?
Ooh. Probably a T-bone steak.
From any particular place?
Yeah, probably. But like, you know, you got to make it tough on them. Get one from like get Gordon Ramsay to cook me a T-bone steak. There we go.
Okay.
I mean, getting Gordon Ramsay to cook me a T-bone steak with a baked potato and some like corn and peas probably. I think that would be basic.
How are you taking your steak?
Medium rare.
Medium, okay. Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. Rare's kinda weird. Like rare, I think you're trying too hard.
I used to be a really weird kid and I used to get well done.
Oh yeah.
But then again, I'd order those steaks from like Applebee's, so I think I was just playing it safe. So like
yeah, cook it.
Right. Like, I'm not dying here.
Okay. But, I remembered question 3.
There we go.
All right. What are you afraid of?
Ooh. Horses.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like horses.
Like, did something happen?
No, or? I've heard stories because, like, I've grown up in, like, Utah and I've heard stuff. So, it's like, I've heard, you know, kids getting bucked off and kids getting kicked in the face and that. But what it was, actually, I took agriculture biology my freshman year and my teacher was the ranch teacher. He was also the Future Farmer of America's guy. And so he was like, yeah, I got a farm, I got a ranch and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And he told me, like, he's like, so with horses, when they bite, their teeth have to touch before they let go.
Oh, shit.
And so, like, him telling me that, and I was like, that is the most terrifying thing I have ever heard, almost. So it's just, like, I think of, like, a horse trying to, like, bite you, and it, like, grabs your arm, and it's like, it's not going to let go until those teeth, like,
it's not finished until the, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, just knowing that, I was like, okay, don't fuck with a horse. So I was like, I've always just been like, nope, I don't want to get near a horse and everything like that.
All right. Last question. What's next? What's next for you, man? What are you working on? What's the goal for...
Oh man.
What's next?
I think the next goal, hopefully, hit up Austin. I think that's a good goal to go and try and hit up Austin and go just be seen around there and see what I can do, hit up places, go see, you know, get on the Kill Tony, get on Comedy Mothership if I can. I think that's a big thing to do.
Do you know? Whoa.
Yeah, Poochie difficulties.
She's still repping. Penelope jumped down and yanked
the headphones right off me.
Do you know? Okay, so you said get on Kill Tony.
Yeah, that.
And now,
yeah,
I mean, for those that don't know, like Kill Tony, they pull from a bucket, right?
Yeah, they just pull your names out of a bucket.
60 seconds.
You get a minute.
Do you know what you would do? Or are you gonna or are you gonna read the room?
No, I think because I also. I don't watch a lot of them, but from hearing from people, like Tony also likes hearing stuff about your family and your parents and that kind of stuff. Like he always asks that from the people. So I think I would do stuff like I got a quick stuff about like druggy parents and just growing up with like druggy, like everyone in my family was drug addicts in my household growing up. So I think I would just like, I got a quick few bits about that.
Okay.
So I think I just,
and it's something you could speak to if they start talking to you about it afterwards.
Yeah, and then I can go in like a little bit more depth. Like, yeah, this happened and stuff. But like, yeah. But then also I feel like kind of answer some of their questions. But I've also don't, you know, religiously watch it. But I have watched it. Like if I know a comic I know is on an episode. It's like, all right, I'll watch that. Or if one of the guest spots. But anyways.
Yeah. Anytime like, a Sacramento comic gets on, it's such a like, we're like, well, group watch party, Logan Parr.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yeah. And so like, and then. Watch it because they also like I've you know Tony's like you speaked about you and like what's true to you, you weren't trying to do this other thing, so it's like this is how I grew up, like you're just like talking about your childhood or your upbringing. I think it's a very simple, quick, easy way to just be like, this is me being genuine and true and stuff like that. And so
right on
yeah.
Well, hey man, thanks for stopping by today.
Thank you so much for having
and
me, man.
This was a great conversation. I wish you all the luck, and I hope you come back to Sacramento more and more often.
I plan on it, man.
I think you
don't worry. I plan on it, man. I want to break through here.
Right on. All right, man, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, man.
Thanks. Peace.